Good afternoon. The time is 4:30. Mountain Edition is up next.
I'm Leanne Akers.
And I'm Sean Delaney.
We had a couple professional moving crews that came in to do some of our heavy equipment.
The new building for Rowan Campus of Maysville Community and Technical College opens on Monday.
No one was hurt during a shootout in Johnson County Thursday.
Kentucky school districts are facing a funding dilemma.
Four women and two men have been appointed to a committee that will investigate House Speaker Jeff Hoover.
All activities and sporting events for the Rowan County School District and the Moorhead Department of Parks and Recreation have been canceled for the weekend.
In sports, the Eagles host a doubleheader tomorrow in Johnson Arena.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
Clear sky tonight with a low of around 4 degrees. Stay tuned for an extended weather forecast after this news.
No one was hurt during a shootout in Johnson County yesterday. According to WYMT, the incident happened around 9 p.m. last night near the Mealy community. Police arrested 33-year-old Jonathan Mahan and 47-year-old Terracotta Baxter on charges of first-degree wanton endangerment. Deputies say the men were running around a car that drove into a ditch, allegedly firing shots at one another. The two had apparently been following each other around all day, making threats.
Former fugitive lawyer Eric Kahn has been appointed a public defender by a federal judge. Kahn, who was accused of defrauding the government of more than $500 million and fleeing house arrest, filed a motion last week saying he was unable to afford an attorney. The former Floyd County native was captured in Guatemala last month after leading federal authorities on a six-month manhunt. Kahn is due back in court next week.
The lawyer for a northeastern Kentucky city is a new judge. WMKY's Cody Robinson has the details.
Governor Matt Bevin has appointed Ashland attorney John Vincent as the next 32nd Judicial Circuit Court judge. Former Judge C. David Hagerman retired on September 16th. Hagerman held the position for more than 25 years. The Ashland Daily Independent reports that Vincent will officially replace Hagerman next Thursday when his appointment takes effect. He will serve until the role is filled in accordance with this November's midterm election. In addition to his time as Ashland's attorney, Vincent also served six terms as the 100th District Representative in the State House from 1996 until 2008. This is Cody Robinson with WMKY News.
The new building for the Rowan campus of Maysville Community and Technical College will open for classes on Monday when the spring semester starts at school. Construction of the $28 million building at the MMRC Industrial Park wrapped up about 6 weeks ago, and faculty and staff moved in just before the MCTC's Christmas break. Director and School Chief Operating Officer Russ Ward says they can't wait to start working in the state-of-the-art facility.
Wow, everyone's very excited. It's a beautiful facility. It's a very technically advanced facility, and everyone, I think, is just we're still kind of in that honeymoon phase of being wowed by new things that we discover every day.
MCTC's Rowan Campus Center has been located in a building just off Kentucky 32 North. The Rowan County School District purchased that structure for $5 million a couple of years ago and will now take charge of it.
The spokeswoman for Moorhead State University's Facilities Department says the $49 million effort to refurbish the Adrian Doran University Center is 74% complete. According to Shayla Ring, sub-freezing temperatures haven't delayed the effort, which involves fully renovating the older part of the facility and constructing a 75,000-square-foot addition on its east side. Ring says workers in recent days have been focused on completing upgrades to the interior of the old part of ADUC and will complete its new section after the weather warms up.
We have so much of the drywall finished and all of the piping and the electric in the renovation side of the building. And whenever you go in, you can really see how much different the form and the layout has become for the side that we're all very used to. And starting in the spring, we're going to be shifting to all of the intricacies that come with building a new portion of a building and making those connect.
Ring says the Doran University Center project is still slated for completion in the fall of this year.
Moorhead State University President Dr. Jay Morgan is keeping a close eye on the 2018 Kentucky General Assembly session. Among other things, lawmakers will finalize the state's budget for the next 2 years, including what it will spend on higher education. They also hope to fix Kentucky's struggling public pensions and reform its tax codes. Morgan has met with several legislators, and he says he's told them it's critical the retirement systems receive attention.
We need some type of pension reform. I don't know what that looks like. I'm not a pension expert. I don't know what it looks like, but I do know that we need some type of change. Our pension cost increase here at Morehead and all across Kentucky, whether you're in K-12 education or higher education or city or county government or quasi-government, is skyrocketing, and it's unsustainable. We're going to have to do something.
Morgan reports if left unchecked, MSU's contributions to the retirements of its employees will rise next year by over $3 million. He says that would be especially troublesome for the university if the legislature makes double-digit cuts to funding for higher education, which many predict will happen.
The State Commissioner of Education is concerned with the pension crisis for teachers in Kentucky, but his focus during this year's legislative session will be closing the achievement gap. Commissioner Steve Pruitt spoke with the Morehead Rowan County Chamber of Commerce on Thursday. He says the future can be seen in the state's 650,000 school-aged children. Pruitt says cutting the achievement gap in half will mean big changes for the state.
We'll be the best in the National Assessment for Educational Progress. We'll be top in ACT, SAT, or at least in the top 10. And all that sounds great, but here's the other part. It'll add somewhere between $3 and $7 billion to our economy in Kentucky if all those kids stay.
Pruitt says cutting the achievement gap in half over the next 13 years can only be accomplished by the collective community.
Kentucky school districts are facing a funding dilemma. A recent finding by the Kentucky Center for Economic Policy shows there is a growing gap in wages when comparing the wealthiest and the poorest schools in the Commonwealth. There is nearly $1,400 more per student in the wealthiest 20% of districts than the poorest 20%. To the KCEP's Anna Bauman, this looks like a step backwards for Kentucky.
We're creeping back up towards the level of disparity that we had before the Kentucky Education Reform Act.
Bauman says funding the SEEK program alone will not keep up with the cost of education, which has been the case even prior to the Great Recession.
We'll have more of your region's headlines right after this.
Support for MSPR is provided by Gateway Radio Works, serving Rowan and surrounding counties with WKCA at 97.7 FM. All the programming of WKCA, classic country music, news, and more is available worldwide on WKCARadio.com. Apps are available for both your Apple and Android devices. WKCA proudly supports Morehead State University and Morehead State Public Radio.
Kentucky's new Senate President Pro Tem says he is honored to hold his position. Governor Matt Bevin has tapped Senator Jimmy Higdon to replace former Pro Tem David Givens, who recently stepped down from the position. This will be Higdon's first year as Pro Tem. He says many items are already on the agenda, including modification of the tax code.
Used to, we collected millions and millions of dollars on sales tax on computer programs. Now, those are all purchased over the internet, downloaded. We collect no sales tax on those. And so, you know, the economy has changed, and we have to change the way we tax and generate that revenue.
He pledges that since he was elected by all 38 members of the state Senate, he'll serve all members of the Senate, regardless of party affiliation.
A newly formed committee will investigate and possibly expel House Speaker Jeff Hoover. The Jamestown Republican admitted to settling a claim against him brought by a female staffer in November of 2017. Four women and two men have been named to the committee. According to Spectrum News, those appointees are Republicans Donna Mayfield, Jason Petrie, and Diana Saint Onge, and Democrats Sandy Overly, Chris Harris, and Joni Jenkins. House Minority Leader Rod Key Atkins is hopeful that the meetings be as transparent as possible, with some exceptions.
But I do want the committee to meet and the attorneys meet to see what may need to be privileged at times and what may not be. But I do want the meetings to be as transparent as they possibly can be.
Atkins says the Democratic committee members were good choices because two are attorneys and one is a veteran member of the chamber.
As the first week of the 2018 General Assembly session sees controversy about the speakership in the Kentucky House, Senate President Robert Stiver says his legislative body is taking care of business. Stiver says so far that has meant introducing bills and getting everything squared away for committee hearings to begin next week. He says pension reform is one of the top priorities and tells WKYT it's possible that a pension bill could be introduced by the end of the day today.
If not then, maybe the first of next week. But I can't do that with any certainty because there's a process, and much of that process is out of my control, out of the House's control, out of the governor's control.
Stiver says other legislative parties include the general fund budget and the transportation budget. After getting those three major items out of the way, he says the rest will be, quote, icing on the cake.
The commissioner of the Kentucky Department of Natural Resources has resigned after about 2 years on the job. A release from the Energy and Environment Cabinet says Alan Luttrell of Lawrenceburg is leaving the job for personal reasons. Luttrell had worked as the state's director of mining permits and was a deputy commissioner of the department before taking the top job. He worked more than three decades in state government and the mining industry. Energy and Environment Cabinet Secretary Charles Snavely says it's hard to lose someone of Luttrell's caliber. Snavely named Deputy Commissioner John D. Small as acting DNR commissioner.
The Rowan County School District has announced that all weekend activities have been canceled due to the cold. No sporting events or scheduled activities through the school will take place. Sporting events scheduled with the Moorhead Department of Parks and Recreation have also been canceled.
And taking a look at the weather forecast in the WMKY listening area, including the counties of Rowan, Bath, and Carter. Partly cloudy skies today, highs of around 20 degrees. Later on tonight, expect clear skies, lows should dip to around 5 degrees. Tomorrow, expect sunny skies, high should reach 21. Tomorrow night, mostly clear skies, lows around 9 degrees. On Sunday, mostly cloudy skies, warmer, highs of around 40 degrees. Sunday night, a 90% chance of rain or freezing rain, low of around 32. On Monday, a 90% chance of rain or freezing rain, highs in the upper 30s. Right now in Ashland, it's 19 degrees, 18 degrees in Winchester, 18 degrees in Inez, 16 degrees in Flemingsburg, 18 degrees in Lexington, and it's 17 degrees on the campus of Moorhead State University.
On today's feature segment, commentator John Modaff wonders about the most important freedoms we may lose when certain vehicles rule the road.
What does the recent uprising in Iran have to do with self-driving cars? As self-driving cars become their own revolution, one might argue that personal transportation and real autonomy of movement are what makes revolutions possible. Let's back up a minute without using our rear-facing cameras. There is a massive, well-funded, and unstoppable movement afoot to convert the car you drive into a car a system drives. Safety, economy, efficiency, and environmental sensitivity all scream foul against our current mob of vehicles driven by persons. Promoters of the inaccurately named self-driving or autonomous vehicles argue that they will be much safer because they are designed not to crash. The autonomous vehicles will save money and resources due to less fuel waste and lower accident costs. Robot cars will be able to pack together, just feet apart, and speed along at 70 miles per hour, moving more traffic faster and closer than ever before, all with a system protecting users from crashes and traffic jams. Who could not love all of those benefits? But maybe we should all give thought to what we will give up when we are no longer driving but are just riding. And it's not just the leisurely Sunday drive to nowhere that will be at risk. Once vehicles move from our control to system control, all transportation becomes public transportation. Think of it. Have you ever relied on public transportation? Oh, it's wonderful in many respects. For example, when it breaks down, it's someone else's problem. Just wait for another bus to pull up. But when all vehicles are so-called autonomous vehicles, then really the system that guides them also provides an ominous level of control, just as when you and I ride public transportation. The system operators can, at will or whim, cease movement, redirect vehicles, and decide, in essence, who goes where, when, and how fast, or if they go at all. Now back to Iran. If the day comes there, or as it is coming here in the U.S., that vehicles we use are of the misnamed autonomous variety, woe be to the resistance. Independent movement except by foot or horse, will be entirely subject to the desires of those running the system. This new leviathan of synthesis between tech, industry, and government, this transportation industrial complex, will make it possible to decide who goes where. And this means that as protests or other resistance activities heat up, system operators can simply change routes or destinations, or even block travel to some areas altogether for certain persons or groups of people. So all of the members of Group X, for example, could be identified easily through social media and their travel restricted. Why, protesters identified as risks by security services could even be locked in their so-called self-driving cars, and if they are deemed naughty enough, the car could be ordered to drive them to the police station, or the holding facility, or the camps. Let us be careful what we wish for, and let us keep an eye on the avalanche of activity purporting to replace true autonomous driving of the sort we do now, with system-directed and determined driving that can, at the whim of a tyrant, be used to stop us in our tracks.
Hell, you crazy.
I'm John Modaff.
John Modaff is a professor of speech at Morehead State University. It's 4:46 and 17 degrees here on the beautiful campus of Morehead State University. I'm your Mountain Edition host, Leanne Akers, here with Sean Delaney, and we're so glad that you've joined us on this Friday afternoon. Tilden Johnson has sports in 30 seconds.
Support for MSPR comes from the Innovation Launchpad at Morehead State University. The Innovation Launchpad provides education, collaboration, and infrastructure for new or startup businesses with consulting services, financial planning, workstations, meeting, and conference rooms. Located at 149 East Main Street in Morehead, the Innovation Launchpad seeks innovative visionaries who want to start or grow their company, facilitate partnerships, and create jobs. More information at moreheadstate.edu/innovation.
It's a doubleheader for the Eagles. Reporting for WMKY Sports, I'm Tilden Johnson. Morehead State's basketball teams are back at Johnson Arena for more OVC action tomorrow against SIU Edwardsville. After coming back from 20 down last night to beat Eastern Illinois, Coach Greg Todd's 11-5 MSU women will square off with the Cougars at 2 p.m.
They are a very good team. Coach Butcher does a great job, and they will be ready. I think they got a win against Eastern tonight, puts them 3-0, and they've got wins against St. Louis. They beat Southern Illinois in Carbondale, so they will be a handful.
The MSU men will play their game against Edwardsville at 4:15. Coach Preston Spradlin's Eagles fell to 0-3 in league play after a listless 61-52 loss last night to Eastern Illinois. He's warning his players they'd better pick up their intensity when they face the Cougars.
They're not going to feel sorry for us. They're going to look at this and say, wow, Eastern Illinois went in there and they won on that home floor and they just took it. So we can go in and we can do the same thing. Well, I don't know what the result's going to be, but I can promise you our guys are going to compete better than they did tonight.
SIU Edwardsville earned an 85-82 victory last night at Eastern Kentucky. The Kentucky basketball team will try to move to 3-0 in SEC play when the number 17 Wildcats host Tennessee tomorrow night at 9. Coach John Calipari's Cats had to fight to beat Georgia and LSU in their first two conference games. And he says they should expect a tussle every time they face an SEC foe.
You can lose games this year in the league and it's not going to hurt you. Like, we've had years where if you lost that game, you, well, with us it may be different. We will win three and drop seventh places in the stat, you know. But I'm just saying that this league, I mean, think about Mississippi State. Think about Auburn. You're talking Vandy, and you're saying, well, they're but what? I mean, those teams can play, and they're good.
As for Louisville, the Cardinals have an ACC contest tomorrow at noon at Clemson. Quarterback Lamar Jackson's career at the University of Louisville is now in the history books. The Kentucky News Network's Will Clark reports.
Jackson waits for the snap, gets it, fakes it, runs it straight ahead. There's a gap, 40. Jackson is away, 40, 30.
That's just one of 119 career touchdowns and 68 of 13,175 yards Lamar Jackson recorded at Louisville over 3 years. Now the Heisman winner saying in a tweet he's taking his talents to the next level, entering April's NFL draft after consultations with family and coaches. ESPN's Mel Kiper Jr. and Todd McShay both have Jackson as the seventh best quarterback available. I'm Will Clark.
West Carter High School has a new football coach. With veteran bench boss Kevin Brown retiring after this past season, the Ashland Daily Independent reports the school has named defensive coordinator Daniel Barker to take over on the Comets bench. Brown calls it an honor to have one of his former players and assistants replace him.
You know, Daniel has worked extremely hard, and he's really a very good football coach. You know, above all else, he understands the importance of it and the importance of putting your God and family first and then football. And he'll really work hard to take the program to the next level.
Barker played quarterback at West and spent the past 4 years on Brown's staff. After two straight non-playoff seasons, the Cincinnati Bengals head coach Marvin Lewis says he's taking his team back to square one in order to turn things around. Lewis says that means changes to his staff and to the Bengals roster.
We're going to have to do a little better and do a better job of maybe adding some guys from other clubs. And then we have to look at that as we go into the draft and make sure, you know, if this the draft isn't strong in this area, then make sure we take care of it prior to the draft.
Despite a lack of success in the past 2 years, Lewis was given a new 2-year contract earlier this week by Bengals owner Mike Brown. The Oakland Raiders are to hold a press conference on Tuesday to publicly announce their new head coach, John Gruden. Gruden will be replacing Jack Del Rio, who was fired after Oakland's 30-10 loss to the Chargers on New Year's Eve. Gruden coached in Oakland from 1998 till 2001, and he has since been working as an ESPN analyst. During his 3 seasons with Oakland, they went 40-28, including playoffs. The Raiders went 6-10 this season. And lastly in sports, from the MLB, the Los Angeles Dodgers have traded for lefty reliever Scott Alexander from the Kansas City Royals. Alexander went 5-4 with 4 saves and an ERA of 2.48 in 58 games for the Royals. The Dodgers grabbed Alexander in a 3-team trade that also included the Chicago White Sox. The White Sox acquired Luis Aviolan, who was 2-3 with an ERA of 2.93 in 61 games for the Royals, and Joaquin Soria, who had 204 career saves. The Dodgers also got a minor leaguer, Jake Peter, with the Royals tacking on 2 minor leaguers to the deal. And former All-Star Mark Pryor has joined the Los Angeles Dodgers as their bullpen coach. Pryor spent the last 4 years with the Padres first as a baseball operations assistant and then as their minor league pitching coordinator. Pryor was drafted by the Cubs out of USC in 2001. Plagued by injuries, he had a 42-29 career mark and an ERA of 3.51. Reporting for WMKY Sports, I'm Tilden Johnson.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics online at msueagles.com. Eagle basketball welcomes SIU Edwardsville for an OVC matchup tomorrow afternoon. Men's action begins at 4:15 and the women tip off at 2. Tickets and more information from the MSU Eagle ticket office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for WMKY. Stocks rose, capping off a strong start to the new year as Wall Street shook off jobs data that missed expectations, and the Dow Industrials did finish with a gain of 220.74 at 25,295.87. The S&P 500 was up 19.16 at 2743.15, and the NASDAQ Composite was up 58.64, finishing at 7136.56, and these are new record closing highs for all three of the major averages. The Dow and NASDAQ have enjoyed their best start to a year since 2006, notching their biggest 4-day gain to kick off a year since that time. And as mentioned, the U.S. economy was just a little bit underperforming in terms of the jobs that were created in December. According to the U.S. Government report, 148,000 jobs were added, and this was well below the expectation of 190,000 jobs. The market seemed to shrug that off, and of course, analysts did comment on the fact that December and January are notorious months for being off the mark in terms of the initial jobs estimate. U.S. equities, as mentioned, have started the year with a bang, with the Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ rising 2.3%, 2.6%, and 3.4% respectively. the S&P 500 and the NASDAQ had their biggest weekly gain since December 2016. And in corporate news, shares of Target and Lowe's both rose sharply today after being upgraded at Barclays. Analysts cited a stimulus to retailers from the recent tax code overhaul and improved flexibility to make necessary investments without negatively impacting earnings results. Cisco shares climbed 1.4%, hitting their highest level in nearly 17 years after an upgrade from Bank of America Merrill Lynch. And also Google parent Alphabet rose 1.3% to hit a record high of $1,113 a share, while Amazon climbed 1.6% and also reached an all-time high of $1,229 a share. In the commodities markets, oil was down about a half a percent at $61.56 a barrel. Gold was down only 50 cents, finishing at $1,321.10 an ounce. Overseas in Europe, stocks were strong as the Stock 600 index finished with a gain of almost 1%. In Asia, stocks were strong as well, with the Nikkei up 0.9% and the Hang Seng index up 0.25%. The strongest Dow industrial stocks today were Boeing and Visa, while the worst performers in the Dow were J.P. Morgan and Disney. In the S&P 500, the best performers were Western Union and Xilinx, and the worst performers were Range Resources and Johnson Controls. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Global up 36 cents at 74.05, CSX up 94 cents at 57.72, AEP down 17 cents at 70.78, AK Steel up 6 cents at 6.61, Marathon Petroleum up 66 cents at 69.34, and Anthem was up $4.33 to finish at 234.34. Reporting for WMKY, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
If you're in the market for a new car, van, or truck, don't trade it, donate it to WMKY. Donating is easy. Call 855-WMKY-CAR or online under the support tab at WMKY.org. Your vehicle will be picked up for free and receive a tax donation. Proceeds from selling your vehicle help support programming on WMKY. Donate today by calling 855-WMKY-CAR or online at WMKY.org.
And taking one last look at the weather forecast in the WMKY listening area. Partly cloudy skies today, highs of around 20 degrees. Later on tonight, clear, low around 5. Tomorrow, sunny skies, highs of around 21, lows of around 9 degrees that night. And on Sunday, mostly cloudy skies, warmer temperatures, highs of around 40 degrees, lows of around 32 degrees. Expect a 90% chance of rain or freezing rain. 19 degrees in Ashland right now, 18 degrees in Winchester, 18 degrees in Inez, 16 degrees in Flemingsburg, 18 degrees in Lexington, and it's 17 degrees on the campus of Morehead State University.
Taking a look at some events coming up in your region, St. Clair Healthcare will provide a free smoking cessation course at 5 p.m. on Monday, January 8th. The class will be held in room 102 of the Center for Health, Education, and Research building in Morehead. Free Nicoderm CQ patches will be provided for all Bath and Rowan County residents who participate.
The Rowan County Caring and Sharing Alzheimer's Support Group will meet at 6 p.m. on Monday, January 8th, on the first floor of the Center for Health, Education, and Research in Morehead. The topic to be discussed will be Maintain Your Brain. Caregivers of those with Alzheimer's or a related disorder are invited to attend. Attendees will receive education, support, and new information about caregiving issues.
Now on display at the Rowan County Arts Center is a photography exhibit entitled The Shape of Things by James Knoll. On display through January 12th, the exhibit features objects found in everyday life. The Rowan County Arts Center is open Monday through Fridays, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. The exhibit is free and open to the public.
And the Allegro Dance Project will feature contemporary dance, circus arts, and live music at the Lyric Theater in Lexington at 7 p.m. on Saturday, January 13th. Reserved seats are priced from $15 to $20. Proceeds from the event will support the Allegro Dance Project's outreach programs.
And that's going to do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Chuck Mraz, Ellen Barnett, Cody Robinson, Arlo Barnett, Tilden Johnson, Greg Jenkins, and Paul Hitchcock. Hilliard Lyons' Bud Luke called in from Ashland today, and our feature segment today was with commentator John Modaff. This is Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY Morehead and translator W202BH in Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Sean Delaney and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Leanne Akers for WMKY News. All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5 o'clock.